Happy New Year. Thanks. It's been pretty good so far. Yeah. We're really excited. We've been praying for this time to share with you today. Yeah, we've been praying about it, and Bethany and I feel like we have something in our hearts we'd like to share with you guys. So today we're going to be talking about something that is common that you may have heard of. It's called expectancy. Expectancy is the kind of the word that we want to speak into your lives today. We hope that today you will grow in an atmosphere, that Grace Chapel will grow in an atmosphere of expecting God to do good things. Expectancy is something that people use even without Jesus. The world uses it. Bankers use it to invest money. They expect to make money when they invest money, right? We have expectancy when each time when a baker makes food or a carpenter makes a house, they expect things to work and look beautiful, even though they don't understand how necessarily it's going to work. And today, what we hope is that with understanding the expectancy God has for us today, that will grow in us, that we'll begin to expect God to do good things. So let's pray for that. Jesus, I just give you this time. And I ask that somehow that in our hearts and our minds, you would increase an atmosphere to expect good things from you. That we would see you and see the days to come, this 2017 to come, and even just tomorrow. And that we would feel and experience hope that you can do anything and that you can do everything through us and that you are calling us to have expectancy and hope in you.
Yes.
We give you this time in your name. Amen.
Amen.
That's you.
Mm. So thank you for having us today. We are, like Eddie said, so happy to be here. Just what God has been stirring on our hearts is this idea of expecting him to move, expecting something to happen. So we were thinking about it, what would kind of characterize that and would be maybe like a Christmas gift. So I want you to think about the mystery of a Christmas gift. And if you're getting a gift and you don't know what it is, and so think about like the best Christmas gift you ever got and the feeling that you had before you got the gift, not knowing what it would be. Is it a little like, is it going to be good? It's probably going to be good. Is it going to be really good? Is it going to be really, really good? Is it going to be the best gift I ever got? You know, there's kind of this expectancy rising up in your heart, right? And then you open the package. And the package is like just this mystery, this, what's it going to be? And I feel like there's something special that happens when we come to God and we're believing God with the same sort of expectancy as when we're going to open a Christmas present. That we're like, okay, it's going to be good. I don't know if it's going to be what I want. I don't know if it's going to be something for right now or something for later, but there's an expectancy, right? So I just want you to have that stirring in your heart.
When it comes to like this mystery of a gift, I try to think of my first gift I ever got, and I can't remember because I'm getting older. Can you guys remember your first gift? Like, Bethany was like, Eddie, I feel like God wants us to talk about expectancy and like a gift and the first gift you ever got. And I thought, gosh, I remember I had Christmases. I had birthdays, but I have a daughter now. And she's beautiful. And I'm getting to relearn things through her eyes. Mm. And when she sees things as good, and it's like there's this mystery there. Mm. But for me, I kind of see more of the gloom. I'm sure you guys don't do that, but I do. I see the downside, and when you look at the time of where our faith comes from in Christ, when he was born and what he was born out of, it was a very gloomy situation. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't happy. Like, the Romans were not, like, nice people. And there's, like, every picture you see of Roman law, it's, like, people with, like, severed heads on spikes and crucifixions. It's not a happy picture. And yet, this is where the start of a journey of Jesus begins. Mm. And in this midst of this misery, comes this mystery. What's going to happen? And you can almost see there's two scopes you can take of gloom and expectancy of hope, of what will God do in this midst of this, and what's going to happen. And I think that's where God calls us into is what does God want to do with this? Because we have to realize God is not done. In any situation that is in your life right now, you can know God is not done. It could be the worst moment. It could be the best moment. It could just be a moment you're having. Maybe you don't have work, or maybe you do have work, or maybe you're having a transition in your life. Just know God is not done. If you're not done, he's not done. And even if you're done, he's probably still not done. He's not going to quit. He just doesn't stop because he has hope for you. And you can either know that and trust in that or not. You can maybe not feel it, but you can know it. And during this time, Rome had been controlling the Jewish people. They took their families. They murdered their loved ones. They took daughters away and used them in horrible ways. These are not good people. And there's this question of, well, what does God want to do in this? And then along comes the story in Luke about a mystery for a man named Simon.
Okay, so we've all just come through Christmas and this season of celebrating the birth of Jesus. I love to celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's such a beautiful time of like remembering what it was like before Jesus, what it was like as he like came and the light came, the hope came, and here it is. And so we've just kind of come through this season, and then the Bible gives this story in Luke chapter 2 about a man named Simeon. And he had also been expecting the Savior. But unlike the shepherds, and unlike the wise men, and unlike Mary and Joseph, and all the other people that God announced his coming to, there were no angels, there were no signs, there were no wonders, there were no bright stars. It was just, Simeon let's read about Simeon. I'm going to read it. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed him." So this is 8 days after Jesus was born, and 8 days in that culture, they would go to the temple and bring the baby to the temple, and if it was a boy, he would become circumcised. So it was just a normal day for Simeon. You know, there were no angels announcing the presence of Jesus, but he had this promise. He had this expectation that one day he would see the Messiah. The Messiah that had been promised for thousands of years. It had been hundreds of years since the Old Testament was written. And it was just a normal day. There were no angels. There were no amazing signs and wonders. You just imagine, you wake up in the morning, it's just a normal day, brushing your teeth, getting dressed. Maybe I should go to the temple. Maybe I should just drop by the temple today. I wonder what God wants to do there. I just feel this stirring. I should go by the temple today. Maybe God wants to do something. And it says he was just full of the Holy Spirit, and God led him by the Holy Spirit to the temple. And he shows up, and there's Jesus. There is the baby Jesus. For thousands of years, the world had been waiting for this promise. And one ordinary day, he just feels like he should go to the temple, and there is Jesus. And not only does he get to meet with Jesus, but he had an expectation enough in his heart to recognize Jesus when he saw him. Because Jesus didn't come as the other people were expecting. You know the story. He didn't come as the mighty king who was conquering land and destroying things with fire and brimstone. He came as a little baby to a little family in such a humble way. King Herod was expecting a great ruler to come and try to overthrow the Roman rule. The other Jews were expecting a great ruler to come and overthrow the oppressors. So there was these expectations happening. And here's Simeon. His only expectation is that he gets to see Jesus. And he had his heart open enough for the expectation of what God was going to do to not limit what God was going to do. And he was able to see it when it happened. He was able to see it when he met him. He didn't just go to the temple that day, see Jesus, and then go home and one day die and be like, hey, Jesus, I thought you, or, hey, God, I thought you told me I would get to see him. Oh, yeah, you saw him. You just didn't notice. No, he had the expectation, and he went, and he got to meet Jesus. And it says the next few verses are him overflowing with praise, and he begins to prophesy about the baby Jesus and who he is and who he will be, because he was just full of the Holy Spirit. It's an awesome story, but for us today, sometimes we need to remember this ordinary day, this normal day. It's easy to lose our expectancy. But I feel like God is wanting to remind us today that today is the day for a miracle. Today is the day. One of my really close friends, her brother, wrote a song, and it's actually titled Today is the Day for a Miracle. And sometimes when I listen to this song, it just really stirs up my heart, because it's easy to think like, oh, it'll happen later. Those things on our hearts, those people we're hoping to, that they will have an encounter with Jesus, the situations we're praying to change, and we're thinking, someday, maybe, I hope someday it happens. But to really be expecting, no, today, maybe today is the day. Maybe today is the day for a miracle. And at some point, it has to be today if it's going to happen. At some point, it's going to be an ordinary day when this miracle happens. It's going to be an ordinary day when God moves and does extraordinary things. So just like for Simeon, I feel like God wants to remind us, what are those situations in our hearts where we've put it off and, oh, it's for some other time. I hope it happens. I feel like he wants to remind us today. Today it could happen. Today could be the day. And to live with that expectancy for God to move each day. That's what a gift is. It's living with that expectancy, like, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. You know, the Bible talks about these verses where when God gives us a gift, we don't open it and, oh, it's like a rock or a dead fish. I wouldn't give like a dead fish to my little baby. Like, when she opens her gift, it's going to be something good. And any time when I was growing up and I got a Christmas present, I knew it was going to be good, but I didn't always get what I wanted. Sometimes I got what I needed instead of what I wanted. Like, growing up, we didn't always have a lot of money, and sometimes we'd get clothes for Christmas instead of toys.
I'd get underwear and socks.
Underwear and socks. Eddie was kind of in the same boat as me.
I still get those things.
Oh, underwear and socks.
Anyone else? Yeah.
And you know, it's always good when
that's
you
what
open
you're getting.
It. It's things that we need, and God knows that as well. Sometimes we don't always get what we want, but we get what we need. And he gives us good things.
So each day is a reminder. Like every morning you wake up is a reminder it's a gift. And to have expectancy that God will do something good. Mm. That it's not just going to be socks. It's not just going to be underwear. Although those things are useful. Very useful.
Amen.
But God has good things for you. He has a good gift for you each day. Really, every day, today. Mm. He's not done. No matter what the situation is. I mean, we're not facing the situation that these Romans guys did and the Jews did. I mean, some people, I was watching YouTube clips of like people the tragedy, they think of America, and they're like relating it to like Roman law, or I'm like, whatever. We're Americans. We have it better than that. Trust me. I was in Cambodia. I saw it way worse there. But what we do have is we have an opportunity. In your situation, you can expect God to do something. And even if it's bad in your situation right now, God's not done. And you can expect him to do something good. Even this morning, friends were sharing me stories about like daughters and mothers reconciling and things like that. And I'm just like, and I saw the surprise on his wife's face, and I thought, that's amazing. You just never know what's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. God's not done.
Not done. So I wanted to share a little story that happened a couple months ago, or last month. It's been ongoing for the last few months. I met a woman, and her name is Savannah, and we became good friends. She has 7 kids. And I spent a lot of time with her out in the villages.
Seven kids.
So this is her youngest, and it's a girl. She shaved her head because of, I don't know, lice or something. And she's like 2 or 3 years old, I think, is her youngest daughter. So we have a good time together. I've been inviting her to church, and she's been coming to church. This was really her first exposure to the gospel, exposure to Christians. Her first Sunday there, she was just like, wow, people really, like, love each other here. I can really see that people love each other. Each week, it would be interesting because she always brings her little girl, and so she doesn't join for the service. We sit in the back in the nursery, and you can kind of hear the service, but there's children, and it's loud, And then at the church we go to, sometimes they do songs in Khmer and songs in English. And sometimes it's only in English with, like, subtitles in Khmer. And she doesn't really read, and she doesn't know English. So sometimes it's just English worship, which is great. But when she doesn't know English, it's like, okay, this was not the perfect setting for, like, trying to expose her to the gospel, and she doesn't always get to hear the message, so it's kind of, sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm bringing her to church, but all she really gets is the fellowship. But that's actually, it's been amazing. I keep bringing her week after week after week, and, you know, she'll call, oh, I can't make it this week, or, oh, I can come this week, come pick me up, and so I would go and pick her up, and just kind of with this expectancy of, I don't know what's going to happen, but she still wants to come, so we'll just keep bringing her, and we'll see what happens. I don't know. I expect that because she still wants to come and she's interested, that even though I feel like she's not getting a whole lot of what's going on in the services, that she's still in the environment of the Holy Spirit. She's still around the people that are loving on her, and so it was cool. After about 2 months of coming to church, we had a women's conference. And so it's fun to do big events sometimes because it creates expectancy. Is that right? You go to a conference, you go to some sort of like special night, special event, and it creates a bit of maybe it's not just a normal day. Maybe something special is going to happen. And that's, I think God really uses those things because it's not so much about whatever the event is. It's about that thing in our heart that says that today could be the day. And if we live like that every day, I think we would see a lot more miracles. But because we wait until we have these special things, maybe that's why we're waiting on the miracles. So anyway, I invited her to this special women's conference. She was able to find somebody to watch her daughter, and she came alone that evening. I didn't feel like it was a particularly strong message at the conference, but I was, you know, I kind of hyped her up for it. It's a special night. It's a special night. We're just going to love on you, and it's a women's conference. She got her nails painted, and I don't remember what else. We sang songs, I think. And we had, like, a little boutique where she could buy something for, like, 10 cents. And then we were driving home, and she begins to open up and share. She's like, Bethany, something feels different in my heart. I feel lighter. My whole body feels lighter. And I know that I'm loved by God. It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful because I just spent on this journey with her. And the week before, I'd asked her, so where are you at with God? And she's like, yeah. Oh, I believe like some, but some things I don't know. And, you know, she's not educated. She's trying to understand. And, she went to maybe like second grade of school. And then after that, her dad was like, oh, you're not worth sending to school. Just stay home. So she really kind of looks down on herself, but she's been going to church and just hearing about this God and who values her right where she's at. And I tell you, that night, she really did change. She really had a heart change, and she really had an encounter with God. It's been so cool. The expectancy be fulfilled, you know? And now I expect for her to continue to grow with God and continue to grow in her relationship, and she is, and it's been awesome.
So the first thing with expectancy is just you're not going to understand everything, right? Mm-hmm. Did you guys think you were? No, okay, good, because you're probably not. And if you are, I'd like to take you to like some game shows, and you could win me lots of money. No. Price is right. Price is wrong. So you don't know like everything. And so when we don't understand, as Christians, what do? It's a mystery that we have to trust. It's a faith, right? It's something that we say, okay, God, the situation is not good. You're honest about it, right? I'm not saying like ignore all the pain and sorrow that you walk through. I think that's not the route that Jesus took, so it's not the route I'm going to take. But I think we have to look through the valley of death. We have to know that he's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's not done yet.
Yeah.
And what he brought to you, is he going to finish in a good work? He's going to finish the good work inside of you. Mm. And so that's what the whole concept of mystery is that we don't know all the answers, but we know we can trust. God is going to do something. Somehow, some way, God is going to do something. And if I don't understand, then it's a mystery, and I'm going to trust him. Yul? Sorry, Yul is Kamai for understand. I know Kamai. Hey, it was not easy to study that language. It's like spaghetti noodles thrown on a wall. Like, if you think you can do it, I got a couple apps to show you. You're wrong. It's so confusing. Anyways, so first is a mystery, expectancy in the midst of a mystery. Bad situation, not good. Second area that I was talking to Bethany about this, and I'm kind of more, she's more the optimistic, like happy, beautiful woman. And I'm like the troll that's like in the corner going, it's wrong. What about that? What about this? See, I'm so smart. I thought of the negative thing. Yeah. And then she's like, honey, stop it. See, we're a good team. She does it right and fixes me. So the second thing I think about, and I'm sure, again, I'm the only one, but I think about the doubt of things. And doubt has a face, and there's the face. That's the face of doubt. Because what you don't see is, that if you have kids, you'll understand this, right? And having a child is like Bible college on steroids. It's like, I learned so much about Jesus through my little girl, right? Parents, is that right? Don't you learn so much about God and the Father's heart and all that? Before kids, I was like, I don't know. Like, he's a kid. He buys me presents it's like Santa Claus. Now I'm like, oh, I love this thing so much. And that's how God loves me. So you'll understand this face of doubt. 5 minutes before this picture, guess what she didn't have? Watermelon. And guess what her face was? See, you have a kid. You understand it. Not happy. It wasn't ecstasy, what you see right now. Imagine, I don't have a picture of it because parents don't take pictures of their kids usually like this, unless it's by accident. But it was like, But 5 minutes later, guess what happens? This is so good. So great. With expectancy, sometimes we have to understand that there's a bigger scope than what we can see going on. Right? The timeline is not always what we should be focused on. Mm.
right here, right now, I want it this way. Mm-hmm. But with expectancy, you expect it. It's not right here, right now. You expect something will change. And the doubt and all those things are the things that weigh us down from that expectancy. See, we just got to understand that maybe it's more than just 5 minutes. Maybe it's 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 years, 5 months. It's just always having the expectancy that any time, any moment, God can change this. And instead of freaking out and crying, I'm going to trust him. I have friends in this church that suffer from chronic pain. And every day they inspire me because they have hope and faith that God's going to do something someday, sometime for them. And not only do they believe it for themselves, they go out on the streets and they pray for sick people in the midst of that chronic pain, of migraines, of back pains. And they believe God not only will do something good for them, but do something good for someone else. Because when we experience pain, we sometimes feel like, well, I can't pray for other people because I have pain. But that's a lie. You can expect God will probably use you in your weakness even amazingly more so than somebody who maybe doesn't have the weakness. Now, if you don't have pain, I'm not giving you a card that says, okay, I don't have to do anything. No, you still should pray for sick people. But these people inspire me. My wife's one of them. She gets these horrible migraines, and yet she still goes out in the streets and prays for people with migraines. And I, you know, in her mind, there's a battle of doubt sometimes. But God's not done helping. He wants to do something. He wants us to look in ourselves and say, okay, if I'm not having expectancy before I pray for somebody, I need to look at where's my hope at? Is my hope in God can do something? If not, take some time and ask God to fill up your hope tank. Bethany and I, we do this in the mornings. Sometimes we'll look at each other and say, okay, before we go do ministry today, where's our hope tank at? You know, is it empty? You know, usually I'm a yes. So she's like, okay, and she prays for me and pray for my hope tank to get filled up. Because it's a little low. I'm running on fumes. We're not made to run on fumes in our hope. Hope deferred makes our hearts sick. We're made to run on the hope in Christ. They can do anything. And that's the counterproductive thing to doubt. Doubt is an empty tank. Hope is a full tank. So get filled with hope.
Sometimes it's easy to think like, oh yeah, God's going to do something. God's going to do something. We have this expectancy for God. But then sometimes we begin to have more of a doubt, but can he really use me? Maybe we are expecting God to use someone else because we are very aware of our own limitations and flaws, and we can be our own worst critic. So I wanted to read a story in Matthew chapter
14.
Verse 29. So this is a story that we kind of know. It's about the disciples, and they went out on the boat, and there's a big storm, and Jesus comes walking in, and he comes walking by, and Peter says, well, I'll read it. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked on the water to go to Jesus.
I haven't done that yet.
Yeah. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, oh, you have little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got back into the boat, the wind ceased. So there are a couple of things that I wanted to point out about this amazing story. I'm sure we've heard many sermons on it, but the big thing I wanted to talk about was how, first of all, Peter, he has this expectancy for God to let him walk on water. That's pretty awesome. Dude, he gets out of the boat and he's walking on water to Jesus. And I'm so mind blown by that level of faith and that level of expectancy. And totally want to aspire to it. However, it says, when he saw the wind, he began to doubt. And so I don't know if he's doubting God Or I don't know if he was doubting himself. But for me, when I read this, for some people, it's easier to doubt themselves than to doubt God. Because, yeah, God, he's so good, but when we begin to look at ourselves, and we begin to be like, wait, I'm just a human. I can't be walking on water. I've never done this before. This is not physically possible. I should not be able to walk on top of water. And we begin to hit that place with, it's not about God, it's about me. Then all of a sudden, we've limited God to what he can do. And so this is really true in my life. And God has put his finger on it time after time after time, because I'll be like, wait, God, you can't send me to do this. I'm just me. I'm not good at A, B, C, D, E, F. I have a long list of things I'm not good at. And maybe you also have reasons why, hey, God, you can't use me because of this, 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 and this. Or whatever it is. But the amazing thing is, he knew where to cry out. He says, Lord, save me. He knew to look to Jesus. He knew to cry out to God. Jesus immediately saves him because he's right with him. He never leaves us. So Jesus is right with us. And he's wanting us to remember that he gave us the place that we're in. So what I was feeling he was just wanting to share with each of us today was, you're in the place that you're at for a reason. The people's lives that you're in their lives for a reason. He didn't choose someone else to put into their lives. He could have, but he chose you. So the situations that you're in, the people's lives that you're in, with all you are, with your limits and your inabilities, he's using you right where you're at. He wants to be your strength. He wants to be enough for you to have that amazing influence to the people around you.
Yeah, sometimes we try to guard ourselves when we're going through doubt. We think, well, if I have a low expectation, then I won't get let down as bad. You ever hear that before? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, sure, sometimes that's good for things like taco time. Right? Right, Sam? Wherever you are. Yeah, there he is. Yeah, like, you know, like, I'm going to go to this restaurant. Or if you get really hungry. Yeah, it's true, like, for things like that, but not in the area of your heart. Your heart you should guard above everything else. And high expectations means you hit high. Mm-hmm. Now you hit low. Does it make sense? You aim high, miss high. Is this phrase I used to read on the wall of YMCA. And it's a nice phrase. I like it. But I think that God wants us to instead look at like our doubt and say, you know what? This is not what I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe in hope. Mm. I'm going to believe God's not done yet. Mm. And I don't understand everything. That's okay. But I'm not going to follow my doubt. Instead, I'm going to say, I'm going to try. And if everything goes wrong, everything goes south, I'm still going to look to Jesus. I mean, imagine Peter is sinking in the water, and he has an option. I can turn to Jesus, or I can turn to a boat. Mm-hmm. And instead, he says, you know what? I'm going to keep going after Jesus, and he cries out to him. And Jesus cries out to him, and Jesus is a man's man. He's not some sissy guy with, like, fluffy hair. Like, I think Jesus could beat me up. He was a carpenter. Like, I like to imagine my Jesus as a tough guy. And he looks down at him, and just like a typical guy, construction working guy, he says, well, you idiot, why'd you doubt? You know, this is the way, you know, I used to do landscaping. It was always like, you stupid, you get over here, stop it. Like, smacks him on the side of the head, says, don't doubt. Keep your eyes on me. Mm. I don't know if Jesus is being that mean to him. Some people are like, yeah, look how bad Peter was. He's an idiot. He didn't trust God. I'm like, but dude, he walked on water. What'd you do? Like, you know, seriously, like, the guy did something pretty incredible. Like, I just like to think he faced doubt, mm-hmm. and he kept his eyes on Jesus. And then when Jesus is even being hard on him, saying, hey, come on, why'd you doubt me? At least he's being honest to him, mm-hmm. and speaking truth into him. And Peter is going to become a rock. You realize that? This guy is going to become stronger because he's taken hard words in the midst of his doubt from a God that loves him, mm-hmm. and he's growing from that. Mm-hmm. That's what's going on here. Doubt is not a dangerous thing. It's just a dangerous thing to keep. It's a dangerous thing to keep doubt, but it's a good thing to fill yourself with hope and strengthen yourself in hope in Christ in the midst of doubt. To not set your expectations low, but to let them shine high. So what do we do with the, like, okay, we have this mystery, so we choose to, when we don't understand, it's a mystery, and we choose to trust God. When we get doubt, when things are going bad with our expectations, what do? We fill our hope tank up. We say, okay, God, fill me up. But then what do we do with this? We live. We live our lives to the fullest measure we can. Yes, this is the face of living, right? Now, there's two people here, right? Who likes roller coasters? Does anybody like roller coasters? Who does not like roller coasters? Yes. Yeah, you're like, I love roller coasters. When we went on our honeymoon, I told Bethany, you can pick, like, we can go for 1 week, and you get 6 days, and I get 1 day at the end of our honeymoon, and I want to go to Magic Mountain, and I'll ride every roller coaster I can, because they're so fun. And when I was at Magic Mountain, I noticed there's two type of people, the person that loves it and the person that doesn't love it. And you can tell, like, which one likes it, right? Which one doesn't. And really, there's only one difference between these people. Do you know what the difference is between the person that loves it and doesn't like it? Doubt, right? What do they believe in about the seatbelt? That's really, right? Like, that's really what comes out. Like, what do you believe about the seatbelt? Do you believe it's going to work? Like, do you think that kid thinks, oh, yeah, this is going to totally work? No, he has completely no faith in that seatbelt. Whereas the other person, it's scary still, right? It's still scary. But they have every confidence, the seatbelt's going to hold me, everything's going to be fine, I'm just going to bounce around and float in my chair, but it's going to hold me. Mm. And that is how we live our lives with Christ. We're all going to go have our ups and downs.
Yep.
And as a Christian, you'll still be a Christian, even if you have this face of like, what's going to happen next? Oh, okay, God took care of me. Oh, okay, God's good. Ah! Like, you can live like that, and you'll be a Christian, and it'll be fine. Trust me. Yeah. Like, I've lived like this many years. Just keeping it real. Real people. So yeah, like, that's fine. And there's also the opportunity for you to live in a way that says, you know what? I'm going to face my situations trusting God. I'm going to bring the joy of the Lord in this as much as I can. I'm going to keep worshiping Him and focus on Him. I'm going to encourage other people. I'm going to face my doubt. I'm going to and fill it with hope. I'm going to do this with my daily life, and I'm going to live and not be in death. I'm going to open the gift God gives me.
That's right. Yeah, because it's not humility to say, oh, God can't use me. That's not humility. It's just a lack of confidence in who God is. And what God wants to remind us of is that He gave to us the same Spirit of Christ that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. Let me say that again. He gave to us the same Spirit of Christ that rose Jesus from the dead. So, what should our box be like? What should our limits be like when He gave us the same Spirit that He has?
Yeah, one of my friends, he posted, this is your box, and then he had like a little dot on the outside, and he says, and this is where the magic happens. And I was like, yeah, I like that. That's good. So I just thought of it now. But it's true. Like, what are your limits? You know, like, what's going to happen? You know, it's often, we know we're living in Christ is, I like to refer to it as like an awkward moment when I'm like, you know, things are going wrong. Everything's like, I'm in this awkward situation, and yet like God's using it somehow. And that's when I'm really out of my box and out of my limits. Jesus actually defines the box in John 14:12. Who brought their physical paper Bibles with them today? Did anybody do that? Amazing. We still have that. Isn't that great? That is just so beautiful to me. Like, I love I have my smartphone and it has my Bible in it. I like the apps. I'm on the Bible app thing, but I still, something about that paper. You can write notes in it. It's special. It's memories. Helps me remember things. It's comfy. Yeah, it's special still. So anyways, who has a paper Bible here today? I like to do something fun and traditional. Who's got a loud voice? Would you mind reading John 14:12 just really loud so we all can hear it?
All right.
Oh boy. Wow. Even greater works than Jesus, you will do. That's a pretty tall order, right? Does anyone else hear that and go, okay. Even greater works than Jesus, you will do. Now, this isn't talking about salvation, right? This isn't talking about like forgiving of sins. This is talking about miracles in your life or what you will do as a Christian. And when I think about Jesus, I say, okay, this is what happens. Somebody tells me something, Eddie, you will do this. And my mind instantly goes to, okay, what have you done? Does anyone else do that? Like someone tells you to do something, you think, well, what are you doing? So Jesus tells me, hey, even greater works you will do. I'll say, well, what did you do to Jesus? And I think, okay, well, he led about hundreds of people to salvation, like during his 30 years on earth, is what I think about. He healed probably about thousands of people, and then he was a martyr for his faith. So he died for his beliefs. And I think, okay, well, I haven't done any of those things. And I look at myself individually. But when I compare that 30 years of Jesus' life to the statement, you will do any greater things, he's saying the phrase there in Greek is you all. You all will do greater things. And I like to take a scope of looking at this as a picture frames all throughout history. What has happened since the time Jesus said this? The church has started hospitals, orphanages, educations, universities, schools, free education. The church has seen not thousands, but I would dare to say millions of miracles, to the point where miracles are happening so much now in our generation that they make documentaries about it and YouTube videos about miracles happening. We're seeing salvations come, not each day, but each hour. There's people coming to Christ in this very moment since I started sharing this message. People are connecting with Jesus. I saw this one guy who is an atheist. He was speaking. He's a famous musician. He was sharing, yeah, the church hasn't done much since. It's kind of been fading out. And I'm like, have you met the church? Are you involved in the church? And then I was like, oh, no, he's not. He has no idea. The church is on a massive move. We're seeing things happen in our generation right now, even in Cambodia, but here in Oceanside, that are just blowing us away as far as what God is doing. And the question is this, is will you join them? Will you be a part of this move of God? Will you join this hope-filled moment of that you have in your lifespan? You have an opportunity to have this expectancy that God is doing something right here, right now, and join the pictures of what God's doing through the scope of history. You can join it, and you can be a part of it, and you can live. And it's so much fun. I mean, it's not the kind of fun where it's a roller coaster fun, where it's like, oh, yeah, but it's fun. It is. I like it. And I can share that I like it because I have something I'd like to share with you. This is like something that just is fresh and raw in my heart. Can I be fresh and raw? Thank you. Thank you. I take that. So I've been living in Cambodia, and it's a new experience for me living there. I'm learning the culture and the way things are. And there's two types of cultures in Cambodia. And there is the foreigner, which is people that come to Cambodia and visit and live there for a short term. Most people come there that are foreigners are coming for spiritual journeys. They're looking for answers. I live in a place where there's an ancient ruin called Angkor Wat. You know what I'm talking about? Angkor Wat. He always sings me the song. There's a song, I guess. But and it's an old ancient ruins where people come there and they pray and they do Buddhist chants and things like that. And there's a lot of drug use there. And so I see a lot of abuse of alcohol and drugs in the foreigners that come. And then there's the Khmer culture. So you have this foreign culture that comes there for spiritual reasons. And then you have this Khmer culture that just has kind of given up. They've tried all these spiritual things and it's gotten nowhere for them. And so you have these two cultures going on. And this last Christmas, I went our church was doing a special candlelight service that night. And you guys can go ahead and come up. During this candlelight service, I was helping prepare this for the church. Our last service, to kind of give you a picture of the church we're working with, it went from being a youth group of 12 to at this last service, we saw around 800 youth. And this is just like a few months. I mean, God's amazing. I never would have expected this, as funny as that sounds in this sermon. But just being raw. It's true. It's true. Yeah. It was almost around 800 people there. That was just the youth. Between the kids, the youth, and the adults, we had around 2,500. So people coming to church for the first time. And Bethany and I are part of this movement happening in this church that God has called us to. And it's really fun and amazing and exciting. But it's a roller coaster ride. You know, I'm facing doubt. And Christmas morning, I wake up knowing, okay, tonight I've invited some friends that don't know Jesus to come to church, which is an ordinary day for us, right? Mm-hmm. We invite our friends to come to meet Jesus, either the church in our lives or the church service here. And so I invited some friends to come to this candlelight service because I'd prepared this message with the pastor. We prepared like the lighting the candle would be like lighting your life for like asking God to come into your light. Come into your life and bring that light into your heart and hold the light up during the worship. And that morning, I wake up. It's Christmas Day. We're going to pack everything. Like, so we wake up. We have breakfast with Anna Jack. She gets to kind of have her first Christmas. And then I go and I start packing boxes because we're going to move that next day to come here. And as I take my boxes to go to drop it off at a friend's house because we put everything in storage, as I'm moving everything, I'm driving my car and I see this crowd of people. And I look over and in the crowd of people is a foreigner. I think he looked like he was from Australia or somewhere, and he was passed out on the side of the road. And he was dying. And I didn't know what to do because in Cambodia, they only pick you up if they think you're going to get better. If you're dying, they don't want to put you in their car because they think it's bad luck. So you have to argue with them to take the people. I this is my third experience like that this week. And so I pull my car over because I'm like, I'm here, right? I didn't come all the way to Cambodia to drive by and say, oh, that sucks, and then keep going. So I pull my car over and, my friend's with me and I tell him, he speaks Khmer. Tell him, try to call a hospital and get an ambulance here. He's like, okay. So he's talking to the people, trying to call the ambulance, and the ambulance pulls up. And I'm yelling at them, I'll pay for you to take this guy. You know, he's dying. I don't know if he's dead already. And this is hard for me to watch. And the ambulance just goes, okay, we'll just turn around. And as they take off, they don't turn around. They just keep going. So my friends, he's trying to call people, and I get next to this guy. I'm trying to see if he's breathing at this point. I mean, it's not good. And God told me I'm supposed to be the guy to pray for the dead and raise them, right? Right? Right. You'll do greater things. So I get next to this guy, and I mean, he's messy. He's dirty. I mean, this is like depravity. And I'm yelling in his ear. Not yelling, but in my heart it felt like yelling. Hey, man, if you don't know Jesus, you should meet him right now. Because I don't know if you're going to make this. And I'm pleading with him, please, Jesus loves you. Give your heart to him. He'll forgive you of all your sins. It's not too late. And I look at his stomach and I see, like, you know, it's breathing a little bit. So I'm not sure if it's breath or if it's the last few things happening in his body, but I just start praying for him. And we're praying for him. And nothing's changing. Nothing changes. Nothing is changing that I can see. So I get up and I tell my friend, hey, the ambulance is coming. He's like, Eddie, I've called every hospital and they refuse to come. And so I'm arguing with the people, get them here now. And then the tourist police show up finally and they pronounce him dead. Say, hey, he didn't make it. I mean, this is the doubt, right? This is the depravity of life, death. God hates death. I hate death. It's not a good thing. We shouldn't ever think death is God's plan, because it was never his plan to have death. So my heart's just sinking. I'm thinking, man, and it just messes with me that whole day. You know, it's just hard to see that. And I don't think we're ever supposed to like it. That's just my opinion. I don't think God likes it, and I don't like it. So but that night I have this candlelight service where I've invited my friends that don't know Jesus. You know, and what do? Do I just sit on my house and get angry and frustrated at God? Or do I pick up and say, you know what? Here's my expectancy. God wants to do something. He is not done with my life, and he's not done with the people around me, and I'm going to love and live my life as best I can. So that night, I'm a little bit angry at the devil. I'm a little bit angry at sin, and I kind of get a little vindictive. And I say, Satan, I'm going to kick your butt, and I'm going to go find people that don't know Jesus, and I'm going to invite them to this candlelight service. And I was just like, argh! You know that anger, like, I'm tired of being passive, being like, hey, buddy, why don't you come to church with me? Now it's like, you're coming to church, whether you don't want to or not, because I'm going to make you, you're going to be Jesus. And so, you know, like, that's the way we should be, I think, sometimes. You know, why not? So I tell Bethany, hey, I invited my smoothie friend who makes my smoothies to come to church. I bought him tickets. He told me he was coming with his wife. Hey, Bethany, can you please call him, make sure he's coming? In the midst of packing, we forgot to call him. So I said, call him right now. So she calls him, and she's like talking to him, and he's like, yeah, I can't make it. I got to sell smoothies tonight. I got to work. It's a busy night. It's Christmas Day. Lots of tourists. And Bethany goes, hangs up the phone. She's like, sorry, Eddie, you can't make it. And I was like, what? So I call him back up, and I know Khmer, like, very little. And so I yell at him in Khmer. I said, not good, not good. I buy ticket, not good, not okay. This is what it sounds like. It's like, ad-la-aw, nyom to buying something, ticket. And he's just like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, sorry. You come tonight. And he's like, oh, I have to buy. I was like, no, you come. And so I keep saying this over and over. So guess what happens? He came. And we're sitting there, and he comes at the very end. I mean, I could tell he was only coming because I was so mad at him. You know that friend that's like, I just came because you made me? I'm that friend. And he's there, and it comes time to hold the candles. And the pastor, him and I had talked about how we were going to make that choice to follow Jesus. And I said, let's have them, everyone light the candle. But if you want to commit your life to Christ, have them raise the candle in the air and say, I want this light in my life to Jesus. And so, you know, we're doing it. We're all there. It's this amazing moment. And he lifts up his candle. And yeah, it's just like the stark, yeah, it's amazing what God does. But it's the stark contrast of my heart is still messed up from seeing this guy die to seeing this person next to me choose life. And I don't know what God's doing. I don't understand everything. It's very much a mystery to me. But all I know is in the midst of this confusion, the angels are looking at God saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They're looking at this world and they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And I'm looking at the whole world saying, it's kind of messed up. I'm not an angel. I'm me. But I want to join the angels' expectancy.
Come on.
I want to join their perspective. I want to have the paradigm shift where I see the whole world and I say it's full of his glory. God is not done. My expectancy is that he's going to do good somehow, some way. I'm going to trust him and I'm not going to quit. Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead and stand up with me. Jesus, we ask you to fill us with your expectancy of this world, that we'd see our lives, first of all, fill up our hope tank, God.
Fill it up. God, I ask for a filling of the hope tank in our hearts and our minds to have hope, to believe that anything is possible, that you can do anything, God. I pray for anything like jobs that we don't have, God, that you provide. God, we just know somehow you're going to provide. God, I pray for feelings of emotions, depression and sadness. God, I pray for a feeling of joy. God, an expectancy that you're going to change somehow in the middle of this ride of a roller coaster, that we trust you, we turn to you. God, we just lift up our lights to say we trust you in this dark world. We choose to trust you, Jesus. We choose to not give up, but to live, and to live fully for you, to do even greater things than you did. We believe you that somehow you're going to do it. We don't know how, and that's okay, because that's where trust comes in.